I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up. We share something we've loved from the past couple of weeks, and then we go on to discuss a topic that we think is really relevant, the things that are going on and that fellow millennials might be thinking about right now. We've now done 200 episodes of the podcast, which is insane. I can't believe we've said that, like those couple of lines, 200, well, more than 200 times to account for all the times we've messed it up and laughed, but you've heard it 200 times. Like, how wild is that?
It's crazy. We need to have a party. We need to have a celebratory party.
I haven't told you. I've planned something for in your back. I just need to, like, we need to put a date in the diary, and I've got ideas for how we can celebrate. Ooh, I'm very excited.
This is a podcast party.
Podcast party, woo! But normally here we would ask you to hit subscribe, but today we're asking for something a little bit different because we're doing something a little bit different. So to celebrate the 200th episode of the podcast, we have decided to expand the Growth in Progress community, and we are launching the Growth in Progress newsletter. This is something we've wanted to do for quite a while, and we thought the 200th episode was a good time to do that. So today in the show notes, instead of just hitting follow and sharing it with friends and loved ones, etc., hit the sign up link and you will get a newsletter in your inbox on the first of every month. It's all very exciting.
It is exciting. I am so excited that we are, not that we're moving away from the podcast at all, but I'm excited to be connecting with people in more ways. I know it's something that's been on the list for us for ages, and people also love, well, people love different parts of the podcast, right? They love the catch-up section. They love the recommendations. They love the topics. So you can get a little bit more of all of those things by signing up on the link, which will be in the show notes.
It will be free. So you'll get a free version on the first of every month. You'll get a couple of extra recommendations that we've not mentioned in the podcast. You'll get a bit of a chat about something that we think is very relevant. But if you want to, and we would be very grateful, there is also a paid version. So you will get an extra podcast episode every month, and you'll get extra newsletter content. And that will just help us to keep running the podcast, because we do this for free and we do it because we love it and it brings us joy. But, you know, there's a cost involved, and anything to support, we would be grateful. That was a weird way to say. That is like the most British way of phrasing, saying to you, you can pay for something ever, because I've just used words in an order I've never used before.
All we're basically saying is we have a Patreon now, and if you would like to support the podcast, you can do so by signing up to our Patreon, where you can get a bunch of extra free stuff. I believe that's how the Americans would say it.
Yeah, and that's why they're better at selling themselves. You've not been there long enough for it to rub off on you yet, clearly. Get Taylor to do this bit for us.
Yeah, he usually takes over all of the things that I find awkward in our relationship. Yeah. Things like asking for the check in a restaurant. I cannot do it. I feel mortified.
How do I not know that about you?
Well, no, so if someone walks past, I'll be like, oh, excuse me, can we get the bill? That's fine. Taylor does the very American thing where it's like, puts his hand up in the air. Yeah, does the sign. Yeah, I cannot do that. There is no part of me that can make eye contact with a server across a restaurant and be like sign it. I can't.
Oh my God. Do you know why I've never noticed this? Because I don't find it stressful to do. So I must have just done it every time
you
go out
to
dinner.
Or if someone walks past or comes over to check on us, I'll be like, yeah, everything's great. Thanks. Could we just get the bill? I will make a conscious effort to do it then, rather than having to make the awkward eye contact. So there you go. There's a fun fact that you didn't need to know about me. But I have an American that doesn't for me now, so it's fine. Or a Charlotte.
I love it. Or a Charlotte. Your own special Charlotte. But if you do want to support, then, like Helly said, all the links are in the show notes. You'll get an extra podcast episode every month, extra newsletter, lots of great fun stuff. And obviously, give us your feedback for it. This is brand new for us.
Love. Like, if there's stuff that you want us to talk about, to cover, if you prefer to just hear a whole load of recommendations, or maybe an extended episode on just focusing on a specific topic that you've loved that we've maybe mentioned before, let us know. Like, this is the whole point of a Patreon, to give you guys more of what you want to hear. So
exactly, like the bonus episode each month is for you guys, whatever you want it to be, whether you want it to be like different each time. Sometimes we'll dive into an episode topic, sometimes like dive into more recommendations. Like, let us know. We are so excited, and I'm really excited for it to like land in inbox. It's like I realized that That's basically my job is email marketing. And so like I know what it's like to have an email land in your inbox, but I've never had it for like our thing before.
I'm
So
so excited.
that look. And also I know how exciting it is when I get the check-in every week from you. And I did notice that you had a couple of weeks off of it. And I kept meaning to text you about it because I was like, oh, if
Messed
anyone's
up.
not subscribed, the check-in is Helly's newsletter.
I missed a week, and then I didn't miss a week. I missed it by a day. I did it on the wrong day. I think it was when we were flying, and it went out on a Friday. I was very angry with myself. I was like, I have to let this go.
You do have to let it go. I only realized because on my commute on a Thursday, I read it.
Okay, because this is where I was like, no one even notices anyway, but now I know that Charlotte noticed, so.
Oh my God, yeah, but I'm a pain in the ass, so don't, I will forgive you.
Thank you. I appreciate I needed
Anyway,
that.
back to normal service. You're in Portland. Have you been to the brunch spot where you have the challah French toast? Please excuse my pronunciation.
We went on Friday and it was as good as I remember. The portions are massive. The price is very reasonable. And it's still the best place for brunch in Portland. If you ever go, it's called Gravy. It is a
That's what
brain.
it was called. I knew it had something to do with like a sauce or like a condiment or something. I couldn't think what it was.
Gravy on, I think it's Mississippi Avenue. Anyway, it's amazing. What I went to last night, though, was a black metal concert.
Very on brand for you. I think of Helly and I think of two things: black metal and going out at night. They're the two things I think
On a
of Helly.
Monday,
On
on
a
a
month,
Monday.
oh, you wild thing, on a Monday. A
It
school
was
night.
an interesting experience. It was
How was
loud.
your?
I felt old.
I heard they can be loud, yes.
We had earplugs. Everyone has earplugs. It's very sensible, to be honest.
Well, I need to get some for Taylor Swift. Very different genre, I know, but I'm going to get us some for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it was extremely loud. The band is actually a Greek band that's been around since the 80s. They're called Rotting Christ.
Not familiar with the greatest hits, but clearly they're doing
To
well.
be fair, they were good. Like I do quite enjoy like a good guitar solo and a solid drum beat, and that's about what I took from the whole experience.
A good guitar solo and a solid drum beat. There we
Also,
go, guys. That's the
they
review
had
of black metal from Helly.
This is the most Portland thing, though, because they had a mosh pit. Obviously, I was not in the mosh
Oh,
pit. No friggin' way. We
God.
were
Mosh
stood on
pits
the outside.
stress me out.
Well, so they stressed me out, but it was very Portland because it's a full-on mosh pit. But at the end of each song, everyone stops and they all hug each other. If someone falls over, they create like a barrier around them until they stand up so that they're safe. I'm like, how sweet and Portland is that? Definitely
They are
didn't
just
happen
the
when we were at
nice.
the LCR.
No, that is just the nicest group of people. Like, honestly, this is why Taylor is so lovely. Like, I imagine everyone in Portland is like Taylor, and now I know they
Yeah,
are.
they are just all sailors, to be fair. But we need to cover the very important thing, which is how was Paris?
Paris was divine. Paris is always a good idea, as the great Audrey Hepburn once said, or she said in a movie, I don't know, but it was brilliant. We had 20 degree weather. I'd forgotten
Torture.
what it feels like to not need a coat on and to feel the sun on your skin. We ate so much food. I had the best meal of my life at La Plume, which, yes, it is expensive, but I will link it in the show notes because if anyone is going to Paris and is celebrating something or they just want a really special meal, the restaurant is beautiful, the service is phenomenal, the view is gorgeous, but the food. Oh my God. I didn't know I needed crispy avocado in my life. And then at one brief moment, we thought we might be able to do it ourselves. And then we decided, no, we can't. So
When you told me about the miso aubergine, do you remember you have that miso aubergine recipe that you sent me a while ago? And I was like, God, I don't know if you still make that anymore, but I was like, I'm sure you won't be able to make it now that you've experienced that miso aubergine.
I made miso aubergine this week. And let me tell you, crap in comparison. Like, it was never gonna rival the like 5-star miso aubergine, but I'm like, what's even the point? It's rude. It's disrespectful to aubergines at this point, you know? Like, But honestly, the best meal. And then we just wandered. Like, it was so nice. It was wandering around the streets. We did 82,000 steps in 3 days.
That is impressive. That
It
is
is.
very impressive.
It's the equivalent of a marathon and a half, if you're interested.
That is
Yes,
wild.
my feet were destroyed. Yes, my knees were in pain. But, And then we went to Cafe Marley for like a little coffee one morning because it is touristy, but you're paying for the view. But the view is of the Louvre. So you're kind of like, I know I'm paying for the view, but also it's a view that's really good. So, anyway, went there and I went up to the bathroom. And then my way back down, walking through the restaurant, there was a little cat. I've named her Marley. She was a little tortoiseshell. She was like, not giving a fuck about me. I was like, oh my God, let's be friends.
Oh,
And there was no one else in the restaurant except the maitre d'. And he obviously was a bit like, oh, she shouldn't be in here. Ha ha. Like trying to shoo her out. And I'm like, Kitty, come here.
well,
There's a photo on the back of
customer's
this
always
chair.
right. Got
There's
to,
just a photo on the back of this chair, and I could just imagine this guy thinking, like, if this girl puts this on social media and tags us, we're screwed. But it's a very cute little fluff ball. But it was Paris was wonderful, and I'm now just looking forward to my next holiday.
as you
2023 was
should.
not 2023 wasn't a year of big travel for me, but 2024 we're milking the engagement in the 30th, and we're going big. I'm off to COS in a few weeks with my best mate, so one of my other best mates. I have
Dream.
multiple.
Going to cost though, and like before it gets too busy.
Oh, so Evie and I are going in the shoulder season, and we're just going to fully relax and chill and like wander around the old town and eat great food. I won't eat a Greek salad because the only part of a Greek salad I like is the feta. But she will probably eat a lot of Greek salads. And yeah, looking forward to it.
Sounds beautiful. Does sound
Yeah.
beautiful.
Share your recommendation for the week, darling.
My recommendation is a book. I haven't been watching much TV and stuff since we've been here. I have read two books. One I gave 1 star to on Goodreads. It was shocking. I've not read one that bad in a while. I
What
needed
is
to finish
it?
it. People are going to shoot me down for this. It's a Colleen Hoover book.
No, I won't shoot down for that because as we've discussed, our beach reads are not the most people's beach reads. I feel like I couldn't read a Colleen Hoover other than Verity, potentially.
Well, so this is why I read this one, because people were like, if you liked Verity, this is different from all of her other stuff. Because I can't read her other stuff. I don't want to cry. I don't want to read romances. I'm not interested.
I don't.
And so I'd read that this one, she basically wrote this when she had writer's block. She was like, I need to do something completely different, basically about like cops. And this is not my recommendation, but it's about cops going undercover in a drug den. And I was like, cool. Sounds very different. I
Sounds like a bit of
friggin'
us.
loved Verity. Verity was fantastic. Anyway, no, the center of this one was a love triangle. I was like, why have you ruined a very
Oh.
good, what could have been like a nice crime thriller? So don't read it. It's called Too Late. My actual recommendation is,
I had to know what the 1 star was. The fear of, I mean, I do have you on Goodreads, but the fear that I would download a book that you had given a 1 star. When I don't know what to read, I actually go onto your Goodreads to look at what you've rated highly.
I need to look at you. I always like your recommendations. Okay, we're just
We need to
feeding into each
connect
other's
on Goodreads or
recommendations.
something. I don't know.
Are we not already?
I
I
don't
don't know how
know.
to connect, to be honest.
I
I
don't
don't
know how
know.
Goodreads works. I
I
just
don't
search
either.
your name.
Okay. Oh my God.
We won't be doing a Growth in Progress book club anytime soon, guys, that's for
Well,
sure. What is your actual
oh,
recommendation? I love that the chaos is like seeped in because it's like 9:15 at night for me.
okay. We're going to keep it on track because it's almost Charlotte's bedtime. My recommendation is Heiress by Rachel Hawkins. Yes, Rachel Hawkins. Have you read it?
No, but it's on my list and I almost downloaded it the other week, but then I've decided to read the books I downloaded at Christmas.
It's a very, I try to remember for this recommendation what it reminded me of. If you like Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, it's that kind of vibe. And there was another book that it reminded me of, and I can't remember what it is now. But basically, it's told from three different perspectives. And the main
Love.
perspective is Hamden McTavish, who is the adopted son of Ruby McTavish, who is the heiress to the wealthiest family in North Carolina, heir to the McTavish fortune. And her adopted son, Camden, has basically distanced himself from the family and their manipulation, the wealth, the way that they use their money, and he set up his own life in California, which is all fine until his adopted mother dies, Ruby dies, and he has to go back to the house, and he's obviously the heir to the fortune, and the rest of the family are still living in this massive mansion in the mountains in North Carolina, and he ends up having to unpack basically all the family's dark secrets, including his mother's. So it jumps between his perspective, his new wife's perspective, who he met in California, who's meeting the family for the first time, and then also letters written by his mum before she passed away, and
Love it.
it uncovers like the truth about her. She was married four times, all of her husbands died, and covers the truth about what happened to them all, the truth about what happened when she was abducted as a toddler and later found. And like the twists are great. You've got rich, dysfunctional family. You've got, is wealth the root of all evil, or is it how you use your wealth? There's some fun things in there with like a thrillery aspect that were really rated.
That's kind of making me think of Black Cake and the way that Black Cake is set up as a story.
Yeah, maybe.
Like in terms of the format of like the mum having died and telling her
Oh,
previous like a life,
yeah.
and the wealth part makes me think of Pineapple Street. Have you read Pineapple Street?
No, I haven't.
That's like an easy beat. Not it's not an easy beat read, but I think that's like how I would class it. Like it's not going to change your life, but it's a really easy good book and really interesting because it centers around that theme of wealth and like capitalism and all of that. I read it last summer, and it's
Right,
set in
good
Brooklyn,
one to read.
so.
Love that. Yeah, this was like nothing groundbreaking, but I read it so quickly. I thought the story was great, and there was a couple of, there was more than a couple of twists, and I was like, oh, it's really cool. Like that was a really
Yeah,
like clever
just
move,
like
or I didn't see that coming or whatever.
just
So
keeps you going, like keeps you turning the page.
what is your recommendation?
I've realized I've got two recommendations after saying to you, oh my God, I can't think what my recommendation is. The first is like a product recommendation that I'm going to touch on very quickly. The Anastasia Beverly Hills Brow Freeze Gel. So people might recognize that as like the little pot of like clear gel that went viral on the internet. You have a little spoolie and you stick the spoolie in and it gives you that like perfect brow look. I don't like having a stick that I've got to put in a pot at a funny angle and brush it. That's faffy. I can't be dealing. They have just launched like an actual gel that's like on a specially designed little wand. So you've got short little stubs on one side and longer ones on the other. So you can like groom your brows. They stay put. I mean, look at my brows. Don't they
They do
look?
look amazing.
I can't take credit. The brow queen, Holly Parks, has done my brows. She was featured in Vogue, which we celebrated when I got
Ooh.
my brow appointment yesterday. I was like, can we take a moment for the fact you're in Vogue? That's so cool.
That is so cool.
But yeah, I've been using it. It's amazing. I love it. It stays all day. It doesn't go like crusty. And I have very long curly brow hairs and it keeps them in place. So that's one thing that I've been loving. My actual recommendation though is a true crime series. And I know we said the other week about feeling a bit like sometimes about recommending true crime, but this is on Netflix. It's called Homicide New York, and it looks at the homicide units in the Manhattan police departments in New York, like Manhattan South, Manhattan North. And it looks at, I want to say, six murder inquiries. And the way they've done it is really interesting because you have the first one, and it's at the Carnegie Deli, which was like a really famous massacre. And then at the end of that, they kind of wrap it up by going, oh, it reminds me of this case, and it moves you back in time. And
Oh,
all
that's
of like
cool.
some of the similar kind of I want to say staff, that's not the right word, like different departments who worked on the first case, worked on the second case. And it's like, oh, that wasn't the first time I worked with Bill. I worked with Bill again 10 years later on this case. And it kind of weaves them all together in a really interesting way. But because it's all true crime, it doesn't feel forced. It's just like, yeah, this is actually how it works because we worked together on this case, which is how I knew to contact him for this case. It was
Is it like
abs.
interviews with those people involved, or have they got
Yes.
like actors to? Okay.
No. There's a couple of very vague reenactments, and by vague I mean like it's not a reconstruction by any stretch. It's more just like there's a murder in
Right.
Central Park, and so there's like someone pulling a body out of Central Park. Like it's not an actual reconstruction.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fascinating, and to And at the end, they kind of, and this isn't a spoiler, but they also have a segment about like the impact and what it means to deal with that constantly, like how it chips away at your soul. And you see this kind of much softer side of them, and a couple of them leave the profession and they talk about that. And for something that is so, like an area that's obviously so heartless and homicide, to hear like the human side of it from these people was fascinating. Like what these people did to ensure justice was served is phenomenal.
Okay, we need to watch. Obviously, we'll need to watch that. That sounds right up my street.
I mean, let's be honest, I think it is in part of the whole PR and rebranding of the police, because let's be honest, people don't
Oh, yeah.
police and haven't for a long time, particularly in the US. And I am conscious it is part of that, and part of like the, I don't want to say glamorization of true crime, but like, you know, I'm conscious of all of those other factors that play into this. However, the way that the documentary series is produced, the people they interview, the stories they tell, that is still in its own right very good.
Have to check it out. How many is it, like, how many episodes?
5 or 6 episodes. We watched it all in a day. Yes, I had nightmares the next day. I did have violent nightmares tonight. I think if I'd only watched 2 or 3, it would have been fine, but we went the whole hog. It was just so compelling. Like the way it was shot, the way they would, you're like, oh, we've got to watch the next one now to kind of see how it plays out. And also there's a part where it touches on 9/11, and that is very interesting.
Going on the list. We'll give it a watch.
Yeah. Ah,
Do we
loads
want
of
to
recommendations.
chat about our 200th topic?
200. 200
Crazy.
is insane. Like, I think if you had told us we'd get to 200, we'd be like, nah, we never would have believed it. So it feels
How many
quite
did we say we were going to do? Like 10,
10.
see how we felt.
Yeah, we'd see if after the 10th episode we still wanted to do it. 190 later, and here we are.
No one can tell us we're not committed.
I said to Alex recently, I think I have commitment issues, I can't stick to anything. And he was like, are you
This is
for
not
real?
true.
I was like, for a start, your engagement ring. Second of all, your podcast. But
Oh
for the
God.
200th episode, we wanted to talk about joy and doing more things that bring you joy, because that's what this podcast is, right? Like for us, it's a passion project. It's just pure joy. It's something we enjoy doing. We wouldn't do it if we didn't. Like logistically, it is not easy. There are multiple time zones involved. We are busy people. We have a lot going on. And so I think doing this has really reminded me as well that you don't have to do things for like another outcome. I think when we started the podcasts weren't like as, I'll say not as popular, but they weren't in like the same, I guess people didn't, there weren't as many of them.
We're still on the
And
upwards trajectory of like becoming
yes,
popular.
completely. And I think there was a part of us when we started, it's like, oh my God, we've got to make loads of money and have loads of those downloads really, really quickly. Which is unrealistic for a lot of reasons. But actually, now I think we both just sit and we really, really enjoy. And that is also like, it also has value.
Yeah, I feel like we on this podcast talk a lot about goal setting and priorities and purpose and all of those things, which obviously we are important to us, but the flip side of that in general, I feel like in adulthood, we do not talk about doing things just for the pure enjoyment. Like there always seems to be, it feels as if always has to be an ulterior motive for whatever you do as an adult. It has to be related to a goal, or it has to be for like financial gain, or if you're going to the gym, it's to lose weight, or if you're running, it's to because you want to run a marathon. Like there always, it doesn't feel like you can do, or it doesn't get spoken about, I guess, doing things just purely because you're motivated by wanting to do something that you enjoy, like a hobby or
Yeah.
something like that. And I do think as a child, everything's motivated by enjoyment, motivated by enjoyment. Like everything is
Yeah.
because you're a kid and you love doing it. And I think you lose that a bit in adulthood, or at least it doesn't get spoken about. So you feel like it's not as acceptable.
Yeah, and I think we kind of have that combination of, first of all, you have more responsibilities and you've got more obligations of things you have to do, so there is less time, but we're also still in that hangover from the girl boss era. And we touched on it like when we spoke about the wellness girly thing a couple of weeks ago. But It is so hardwired into us that everything must be a side hustle. It must make us money. It must be very productive. It must help others. And whilst all of those things are fine, I think it does reduce kind of how you perceive something as like being worthy for you to do. And I don't know whether it is just like the culture shift from the last few years with a combination of like returning to normality and that kind of embracing girlhood life, and a lot, just a lot has happened in the past few years. Like, I think the mindset's changed. And so it's, this is as quote unquote normal as life's ever going to get again. Like, we've spent so long delaying happiness for things outside of our control. It almost feels like now we have more within our control. We should stop delaying that happiness. Like, what are we waiting for? And all of the love of girlhood and girly fun things, I think, has been really positive for shining a light into this realm of like doing things that bring you joy.
I think this doing things that bring you joy really, it links with how much we talk about kind of being present in the moment and appreciating and having gratitude. But also, I guess the flip side of that is I think it's so tied with the like, I'll be happy when mentality. Like, I'll be happy when I get that promotion. I'll be happy when I get that pay rise. I'll be happy when I own a house. Like, if you're waiting for when all the time, you're never enjoying what's in the present moment. And obviously, that's not saying you shouldn't have goals and you shouldn't be aiming towards those things, but also, why can't you at the same time just.
There's definitely a self-worth piece here as well. Like, as you were just saying that, I was like, God, why is it that we think we can't just do things for joy? And there's a part of it's like, we're not worthy of just feeling happy for the sake of it. Like, we think there has to be something more. And actually, this makes me cringe when I hear people say it, but it is very like, fair point. We're human beings, not human doings. And it really like, makes me cringe. I don't know why. However, there is a part of that that's kind of true. Like, we are just allowed to be. And it's a hard balance, right? Because if you say, oh my God, just do what makes you happy, do what brings you joy, the reality is that sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have other obligations and you can't just say, right, I want to find joy. I'm just going to sack everything off, catch a one-way flight to Australia, screw it. Or I'm going to, I don't know, I'm going to take up a new hobby, even though I know financially my family can't afford it. And like, you know, or whatever it is, like, it's not throwing caution to the wind and just doing whatever you fancy on a whim. I think it's more about n identifying what it is that brings you joy and allowing yourself to do it. Like, it might be getting back in touch with like an old sport. Like, I always think of you in netball. Like, 10, 15 years ago, you played netball to compete in netball, whereas now you would play netball because you like it.
This is why I can't wait until we're back in the UK because, like 10 years ago, whenever I played sport, it was because I wanted to win. I wanted to compete. I wanted to be really, really good at it. And now I can't wait to rejoin a netball team. And I don't want to compete. I don't want to get to counties. I don't want to go up against all of the top teams. I want to go because I friggin' love netball and I love the social aspect of it as a team sport. And that's what I miss. I really miss having like that group of women in my life where we play a sport together. We catch up a couple of times a week and it's just fun because I love the sport. And I think 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh, but what's the point if you're not competing? Whereas now I'm like, point is, I love it. So I want to do it.
That's why I think it's so linked to self-worth, because I think we have more of an idea of self-worth and like what we deserve in terms of just like being allowed to be happy than we did 10 years ago. I think it's something that only grows as you get older. And I think when we were younger, we didn't have social media or anything like that in the same way. Like, we were the pre-social media age. Whereas now, where everything is online chronically and it's quite performative, it feels like there's that added pressure of like, not only must you go to netball, but you must do it really well and you must put it on the internet. And therefore, you're kind of telling people you're doing it and subconsciously saying, this is my new thing with a capital T. Whereas actually, it can have value in real life and not even exist on the internet. And I have a few friends who are completely off the internet, completely off social media. It's very bizarre because they'll text me and like, oh my God, how was your trip to Paris? Like, I haven't seen any photos, send them to me. So I literally WhatsApped her my photos because I was like, oh yeah, you're not on social. She's like, I don't know anything, tell me everything. And it's really interesting because obviously my trip to Paris, I put on social media, But it wasn't any less real because she hadn't seen it. And I sent her the same photos. Like it was kind of like an interesting moment for me. I'm like, oh, okay. There's this whole, like, we have to remember that we can be quite performative in what we do, but we don't have to be. You can do it just because it's enjoy, like you enjoy it. And you don't have to tell people that. Like if you're secretly, really secretly, but like you're really, really into, like, I don't know, paper macheing. That doesn't have to like become, it's literally the first thing that came into my head, and I have no idea why that was the first thing that came into my head. But you don't have to suddenly like make that your thing, and that doesn't actually something you share on the internet. That can be just for you because you find it relaxing and you find it as to be like a creative outlet. That's fine.
I think that's really interesting because I do think social media is playing a massive role in how we enjoy things. Because definitely 10 years ago as well, maybe less than that, maybe like five, a lot of it was like doing it for the gram idea. Oh, if it's
Oh my
not
God, do you
aesthetic.
remember that song that was like, do it for the gram?
No.
What was that song? It came out in the summer of 2018.
Oh my God, that feels worryingly recent, but no, it's not. It's 6 years ago. But
I remember, I will put it in the show notes because otherwise everyone else will have the same earworm as me.
it is exactly that
But
of
that was
like,
how big it was. Like, that's how big that concept was of do it for the gram. Like, it was literally in pop culture, so chronic. Like, it was in songs.
yeah. And then now this is where I feel like you've got the difference between doing something for the intrinsic reward and the extrinsic, because anything that you were doing for the gram was for the extrinsic. It was for the likes. It was to show other people what you were doing. Whereas what we're talking about now and doing something for the enjoyment is because of that intrinsic reward. And just like the reward is that you enjoy it, nothing more, nothing like external.
I'm sorry, I've gone down a rabbit hole trying to find this song. And let me just tell you, do it for the gram has multiple reasons, like multiple meanings. They're not all do it for the Instagram. Let me just tell you that. But I will find that later. I'll put it in the show notes. My world has been blasted open there. I think the thing with socials though, like, and we said it so many times that when we would travel together, it makes you more aware of the opportunity there is, and it opens your eyes to more things that you might be interested in. So it's great for that. If you're then pursuing those things because you think it will be some like end destination, you will feel something, you'll have some sort of status by doing it, then it's your motivation is different. And I think when it comes to doing more of what like brings you joy and makes your cup feel full and feel at peace with yourself, it has to be more pared back than that. It almost has to be a bit more offline. It has to be a bit more private because the only person benefiting from it directly is you. Like the people around you might indirectly benefit if your mood's better or you're a bit happier or something, but fundamentally, you're the only one benefiting from it.
Yeah, and I do think like this isn't to, I don't know, not discouraging, but say like it almost makes it feel like it's something bigger than it needs to be. And it's not saying
Yeah.
that you can still do all of the things that you're doing because you have a goal or a priority or something that you're focused on, but also not to disregard the things that aren't goal related. Like, don't disregard them because you're like, oh, well, what's the point in doing them? Like, there isn't only value in it being towards a like progressive role or to something extrinsic or some like external value that you've like pinned on it. I think if you can't tie it to a goal, is it something you enjoy? And if the answer is as simple as yes, then why not just do knitting for the enjoyment of it? Why not join that local sports team? Why not try that new hobby or take up life drawing or whatever it is you want to do? Like, there's so many possibilities. And I think it's a really great way to get out of your comfort zone, but also feel really fulfilled in a way that doesn't rely on any of those external factors.
I think it can also be on a smaller scale as well, because as you were saying that, the example that jumped into my mind is like at the end of each month, I do like a month in review. So I have a look at what went well, what my goals were, like how, like of those goals, what did I achieve? What do I need to change for the next month? And that's very action focused and very, my very like inner Virgo self. But then I also do a piece that's like, I upload all my photos to my Notion and I create a mood board of like what I want the next month to look like. And it's super creative. And I do that bit because it just, I love it. I love scrolling through Pinterest and getting inspired and cutting out all the different pictures and sticking them all together and curating an entire like feeling for the month ahead. No one sees that mood board. So that is purely for me. And no one else benefits from me doing it. It takes time to do, but it doesn't have to be a huge thing you suddenly start doing. I think it can be like micro things. And that is also just as important.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I hope us sticking with the podcast for this long and us having these conversations, I don't know, just maybe prompts you to maybe think about something that you're like, oh, actually, I do really enjoy that thing. I'll stick with it, or I'll try it out, or whatever it is. Like just a little bit of a nudge. Doesn't have to be for some wider reason other than you just feel like it and it makes you feel good.
And that is valid enough. Let us know what it is that you're doing to bring more joy, please, because we always want to hear from you guys. And of course, now you can sign up to our newsletter as well. If you're listening to this in real time on the day it goes out, then the newsletter will be going out at the end of the week. We're going to send it on the 1st of every month. So, got a couple of days to wait. We're very excited to have you all sign up. And for anyone who signs up to the Patreon, we are really grateful. So, thank you so much for that. But we'll be back next week with another episode, 201. Wild, like it blows my mind. But hope you have a great week, and we will speak to you all soon. Bye.
Bye.